And welcome to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show for this Monday morning for this edition. Hope you guys are having a great week and hope you had a great weekend. And Austin, it's good to have you with me today. You know, it's been kind of an interesting weekend down here with the chemtrails and the lightning and the huge amounts of rain and thunderstorms. And it's been interesting how they continue to modify the weather. And I was just talking to Todd a second ago, and he said that one of the FEMA executives are now saying that they're expecting almost a 400% increase in food costs within 3 to 4 years. Because of all these weird droughts, et cetera, that they're blaming all of this on, which are, by the way, induced by the global engineering and by the chemtrails and by the massive amounts of aluminum they're dumping on everybody's head. But we had an interesting story today that we want to talk about, Austin. It's about the nightclub shooting in Orlando, the supposed nightclub shooting. Go ahead and start with that.
Yeah, well, there's been more and more information that's been coming out. And as you guys remember, you know, right after that shooting happened, we came on the air and talked about a couple different scenarios and a couple different anomalies that really didn't make sense about the entire shooting, including the mainstream narrative of this one lone wolf shooter coming in with a semi-automatic AR-15 and basically, you know, taking out over 100 people, which first off made very little sense to me at all as far as from a shooting background. I mean, granted, could it have been done? Possibly, but the likelihood of it was so small and the chances of it happening were so slim, and the way everything happened was so strange that it was very, very doubtful to me. What's interesting now, though, is Judge Napolitano, he came out on Fox News like about last week and was talking on Fox News about the, you know, supposedly we have the shooter. He went into the nightclub around 2 o'clock, had this shooting spree. And what's interesting is, He bases on the unredacted FBI transcript that was released that directly contradicts eyewitness testimony, but the official FBI narrative itself. And what's interesting is he came on Fox and basically said that the actual transcript is that nobody died until 5:13 a.m. during or, you know, before or after the SWAT team breach was occurring. Now, I'm not sure, again, like I said, I have no idea about the accuracy of this, if the FBI is trying to cover this up, but from what I'm seeing here, from what Judge Napolitano's talking about, if this is accurate, and then a few of the other key details that are emerging now, one individual, I don't have the article in front of me, I would like to document it first, I got to look some other stuff up, but he's stating the Pulse Nightclub LLC basically expired in 2013. A few other really strange factors about this whole scenario, the same thing I brought up to Dad earlier. This is a very upscale homosexual nightclub in downtown, almost downtown Orlando. There's where's the surveillance footage? You have multiple bars that serve alcohol. They handle transactions with cash. So you know there's going to be some type of surveillance cameras by that. Any bar does. You're also going to have entry and egress surveillance cameras in the event that somebody slips, breaks their leg, falls over, and a lawsuit, you know, is pending. If somebody comes in and robs the place, they're going to have surveillance cameras. This is a 5,000 square foot nightclub that's been around for quite some time. It's 2016. I really don't know of any operating business now that has traffic like this that serves alcohol that does not have some type of surveillance camera. That's the thing we've been asking, and nobody will produce it. Nobody will even admit that it exists. Where's that footage as well? Secondly, if this is correct as far as nobody was shot or killed until, remember about 2 weeks ago or about a week and a half ago, we got that article stating that there were some casualties and shootings from the Orange County SWAT team when they breached. So depending on what's going on with this, this whole story is not making any sense to me at all. Nothing is sounding legitimate. The whole mainstream narrative is falling apart. I even read you that article last week about the out-of-county sheriff that basically came in to breach the building. They were in the building for 20 minutes, supposedly had a shooter cornered. They never ID'd anybody. They were in there for 20 minutes ready to basically take the bathroom, and then they were called out. You know, told to stand down, and then 3 hours later, the SWAT team breached the building. None of that stuff is protocol if you actually have an active shooter shooting dozens and dozens and dozens of people. And if that's the case, case, if they were in there and there were dozens of people laying on the floor, they had the shooter cornered in the bathroom, why would these police officers not start to evacuate and try and pull out some of the critically wounded individuals that were all over the place and instead just turn around and leave these individuals bleeding out all over the floor? That's not what officers do, at least the officers that I know of. And now it comes to find out that the FBI has issued a legitimate, this is legitimate, I pulled this up, they've issued a gag order on local police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. They're not allowed to discuss or talk about the incident with anybody, and the 9/11 audio and emergency scanner archives have all been requisitioned by the FBI from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. on the night of that, and it's not just in Orlando, apparently, it's in the entire state of Florida. They will not release any of that as far as from the police scanners or the 9/11 audio. So this just gets odder and odder to me, because why would they be so concerned about this? Why would they gag order EMS and fire personnel? Why would they hold back 9/11 audio? If the situation actually happened like they're saying it did, there'd be no reason to do that at all. This is a giant smoking gun that this thing either was a complete and total false flag, or this is another complete and total hoax like Sandy Hook was, and nobody even died. I don't know yet. I'm not saying that's what happened, but this is definitely something very strange. And the more we find out about it, the more we're going to keep bringing up you guys and let you guys make your own decision. But this is very strange, Dad. I know you find it the same way.
Well, no, Austin, you're absolutely right. In fact, the first night that I talked about this was Sunday night 2 weeks ago with Doug Hagman. And I said, Doug, it doesn't make any sense to me. How can one guy shoot 100 people? I said, it doesn't, you can't do that. I mean, it doesn't work that way with a semi-automatic weapon. And I said, the amount of ammo you'd have to carry would be ridiculous. And then the next day, you and I did a full breakdown on it, saying the same thing. And the whole story has stunk from the very beginning, has not made any sense whatsoever. And now we're finding out that there's gag orders on all the police and emergency workers. I mean, what do they have to say? I mean, all I know is this. I never saw one emergency vehicle in all of the video that I watched of this. I never saw one helicopter come in. And this is exactly what happened at Sandy Hook. No emergency vehicles, no helicopters, nothing. And then we find out no bodies. And then we find out the doggone school had been closed for years, and they were running a drill. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, so are they running a drill again at a nightclub that had lost its incorporation license under that name 3 years ago? I mean, was it shut down? Was it open? I mean, what do we have going on here? The media won't cover anything except for the mainstream narrative. The problem is, again, this entire story is full of holes. And I think I'm going to drive up there tomorrow. I'm going to drive up there and take a look at this place myself. And I mean, because, gosh, if I can go to Europe and do a doggone, you know, show from Europe, I could drive up here to take a look at this nightclub if it's not still corded off. I mean, it still may be corded off. I mean, it still may be, you know, blocked off for two blocks around. You don't know. So, but I want to walk over there and take a look at this thing and see how many. You said there's only 11 parking spots in this thing. 11 parking spots.
That's what I pulled up earlier. The guy was talking about the expired business license. They're stating that the place has 11 parking spots. However, they do offer valet parking. But from the reading that I've read, they said that max occupancy in this place is like 800 or 900 individuals, and even at the night of the shooting, they're claiming there were between 300 and 350 individuals there, which means there would be a plethora of vehicles even at that, even if you had multiple people riding with multiple, riding in single vehicles. You're talking about at least between 50 to 200 vehicles, depending on the span of it. And from the same thing that I saw as well, the videos, I mean, you're talking about literally shutting down the street and other parking areas all around the building, having that many vehicles in the area with that many people in the nightclub at the same time. I didn't see that either. So that brings up another question of where are all the vehicles? Where was all the people leaving in their vehicles when this happened? Why weren't there people, you know, why weren't there roadblocks? Why weren't they jammed up? Why weren't there 50, 60, 70 cars trying to egress out of the areas around it after it happened? Everything's very strange. And the same thing we brought up before, the only footage we've seen are like two or three different groups of individuals carrying a person by themselves, no EMS, no stretcher, no back brace, no spine board, with, you know, a little bit of blood on their leg. And then somebody else, like four or five cops, carrying an individual, like he's bowing all over the place, and they throw him in the back of a pickup truck. Orlando is a huge city. They have a
vast amount of emergency vehicles, and they have a very, very, very good EMS and fire team over there. Why are they carrying people and putting them in the back of pickup trucks and not allowing ambulance and EMS and first responders and paramedics to do their job properly? Everything makes no sense about this now, the more and more you read about it.
Well, on top of that, think about it. If you have 300 people in there, that means at least 150 people. If you have two to a car, which a lot of people go out, they're single. But let's say everybody had two to a car, so you had 150 valet car. You had 150 cars that were valet parked. How in the world did they get the keys from the valet to get all their cars at one time?
Yeah.
I mean, where were the keys stored? I mean, where are they all? You know, so none of this whole thing. It's guys. I'm sorry. But, you know, unless I see more evidence, this whole thing's reeking to high heaven that it never happened and the whole thing was staged. And I hope I'm wrong, because I don't know. I'm just making my, this is my opinion on my First Amendment, where we still have a right to do it. But here's what they have done. By having this all over the media here, having pictures of all these gay guys that died and gay girls that died and all of these gay guys or girls that may or may not have died. I mean, we don't even know now. You know, they've galvanized the gay communities all over the United States, and a lot of the other people, including evangelical Christians, have come out now in support of the gay community, telling them that we're so sorry this has happened to them, blah, blah, blah. And so all of a sudden now they have a huge voting block of gay people and other types of communists and socialists and Democrats. And I'm not saying that all gays are one of those, but most of them are. And now we have a whole other group of people that may or may not have been active as far as this election because of Bernie Sanders is being taken out like he was, who are all wanting to vote for Bernie. I mean, he has a huge gay following. And now all of a sudden, they see this whole thing with gays being targeted. So now they're all anti-gun, anti-Trump, anti-everything. So now that instead of not voting at all, instead of Bernie or bust, it's going to be Bernie, but now it's going to be Hillary, but now it's going to be anything but Trump. So I don't know what they're doing, guys. I mean, what happened with Brexit last week when the European Union couldn't hack enough votes or steal enough votes to make it legitimate to stay in the Union, and now they're coming out of the Union. Now, whether they do or not all depends on what their parliament's going to do, what their leaders are going to do, if they insist on another revote. I mean, you don't know what they're going to do. They can pass a law. We have to have another revote to try this again. I mean, they can do all kinds of crazy stuff. But the craziest part of all of this stuff is that, you know, we have been hijacked by a mafia group of bankers who were gangsters, you know, hundreds of years ago that started in the United States, and it's been going on ever since, and now it's going on and on again, and they've basically taken over the United States. Ever since 1871, when the U.S. was basically reformed as a corporation, and the bankers pretty much took receivership of it because it was bankrupt from the Civil War, because the Rothschilds had again financed both the South and the North, and so the whole country was busted and broken with no money again after what happened after the Civil War. You guys can look that up yourself, and you can see what I'm saying about that. But it's so interesting. But now the Pope Francis, he just comes out, this Jesuit communist killer of his own people down there in Argentina, back through Operation Condor, he has now made a statement that Christians must apologize to gay people. And I just thought that was interesting. The Catholic Church and other Christian communities must apologize to gay people and to many groups they have let down or offended throughout history, Pope Francis has said. In a press conference Sunday on the flight back to Rome after his weekend trip to Armenia, the pontiff said bluntly, "The church must say it's sorry for not having comported itself well many, many, many times." I mean, are you kidding me? And so this guy is just saying that, you know, this is just nuts. I mean, the Pope was responding to a question about remarks that German Cardinal Reinhard Marx made last week that the Catholic Church should apologize to the gay community for marginalizing them. And guys, I don't know. This communist Pope that we have now, this Jesuit, you know, whether or not he said this directly or indirectly through this other cardinal, I have absolutely no idea. I wasn't there with him when he was saying all of this or he implied it. I have no idea. But all I know that we have a great evil coming out in the United States right now. And guys, we need to really be vigilant and we really need to pray. I've got a good friend of mine who has been on Hagman's show probably as much as I have. And I'm not going to mention his name because there's no reason to, because I'm going to tell you some stuff that was kind of interesting. A few months ago, I ended up doing a show on Dave Hodges' show talking about 9/11 as a mass sacrificial satanic ritual. And I also did the same show with Doug Hagman that same week. And I'm not going to go into that whole show or try to do that again on our show today because I'm not going to do it. But my friend has told me that every time he picks up his cell phone in the last few weeks, he's been getting the number 11. 1-1. Now, I'm not a numerologist, Kabbalist. I don't do all that nonsense, guys, because these guys are like wizards, okay? And that's not what I do. I'm not even involved in any of this weird stuff like this, but I have studied it, and it goes into detail about it in this book. These guys don't do anything if it's not by the numbers, and everything's about what they do. And we talked about with 9/11, the flight 9/11, flight number 11, and here's what the number 11 means. So you guys can take this with a grain of thought through the assault. You can throw it to the dumpster, whatever you want to do. But there's one thing to remember: this an occult authority that we must meet, who considers the number 11 as the magic, the number of magic itself. This is Aleister Crowley. He says number 11 is the number of magic in itself. This is a satanic magic, therefore suitable to all. Well, there's no other kind of magic besides that. Therefore, except for the fake stuff that they see on the magicians do. Therefore, suitable to all types of operation, as well as the sacred number par excellence of the new Aeon, the Aeon of Horus. This person is Aleister Crowley, in his best-known writing entitled The Book of the Law. Crowley said, this guy openly said he had raped thousands of little boys. Crowley states, my number is 11, and all their numbers who are of us. Crowley used the word spelling magic to distinguish between ceremonial magic and sleight-of-hand trickery. The repeated use of the number 11 throughout all of 9/11. When you talk about all of this, also it goes back to the pillars of Hermes, all of this with the twin towers, all of this stuff talks about 11, 11, 11, 11, 11, and what it means is the invocation of the beginning of a satanic magic ceremony. Now, why my friend has decided to share this with me today, I have no idea. And he told me I could give his name out, and I told him I didn't want him to do that until we started getting some more information on it. But the thing about it is, think about this. I mean, 9/11, okay, the beginning of a satanic service. Look what happened a couple of weeks ago when they opened up that tunnel in Switzerland, Austin. That was nothing but a satanic service, and it could have been tied together with that, with the number 11. But these guys are all about this information, and so this is what they do. And so, guys, listen to me. You know, be on your guard, be vigilant right now, and really, really, really pray. Oh, by the way, Lord Rothschild, I don't know why we call him Lord, the Satanist Rothschild lowlife demands now that Britain stays in Europe. Okay? He is demanding that they do not leave. I guess they've spent so much money putting together this EU together, they don't want to have a situation in which they lose control of the continent, which they've been dominating since the mid-90s, Austin. What do you think?
Well, yeah, there's going to be something going on with that. And also, too, in my opinion, it's also obfuscation to something else. We've seen that with the shooting now rolling into this. They always want to keep us looking at one thing while the other hand is doing something. And to bring up what you said a couple minutes ago, and this is interesting because I heard a pastor say this the other day. He said, what one generation tolerates, the next generation embraces. And that's what we're seeing today now, because in the last 10 or 15 years, we've been very tolerant of the extremely heavy homosexual agenda that's been pressed upon us. The movies, the TV shows, everything has been blatant, militant homosexual propaganda. And if you guys get offended by that, I really don't care, because that's exactly what we've seen. And we've tolerated it. We said, hey, it doesn't really involve us. It's whatever. We're fine with it. You live your own life. It's a sin. We're not going to accept it, but that's your deal. And that's pretty much how everybody's mindset has been this generation. But what's going to happen now, after this shooting, one of our friends in the office brought it up today. He said the same thing. He said, now you're seeing this massive outreach and massive propaganda from the homosexual community about how we need to embrace and we need to love and we need to do all this because of this tragedy that happened at this shooting, if it even happened the way it did. But they've used it. They specifically did this on purpose. Do you really think the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage and this happening and everything else we've seen with the extreme push in the homosexual community in the last 2 years is just coincidence? This guy just happened to go get an AR-15 and just happened to pick this gay bar and just happened to do the largest mass shooting in history from what the media propaganda is telling us. This just all happened by random chance? Absolutely not. This is an established, aggressive program to try and make everybody in the world accept and tolerate this type of behavior. And as that pastor said,
this next generation is going to embrace it. They're going to think it's awesome. They're going to think it's cool. They're going to think it's a trendy, hip, cool thing to act. It's okay to be gay. Not only is it okay to be gay, it's cool to be gay. We're already seeing that now with a lot of the younger kids coming up in this generation. YouTube put out this unbelievably belligerent video about gays. It said, be proud. They put it on the front page of their website with a gay rainbow right beside it, and ended up having to shut down the comments after 2 days because, and I was so proud of this, there were over 200,000 dislikes with barely 100,000 likes within the first day, and about 90% of the comments that I read were all not necessarily anti-gay, but anti-gay militant propaganda that they're trying to force down our throats. Why can't we have heterosexual married Pride Month? Why can't we get all this stuff that these guys are literally getting handed to them because they are gay, so they get all this special treatment, all these special rights, all this special notoriety, all this stuff now because it's cool to be what they are. We have like 38 different genders now that don't even make any sense. Half of them you can't even understand what they are. They're so weird. You know, it used to be, you know, there's gay and there's straight. You have a male and a female. That's how it's been for pretty much all of time. And we're slowly eroding that to the point where nobody knows what anybody's gender is. They're just going into these weird subgroups, subcategories, and we're supposed to accept all of it. So my point in saying all that is this shooting, whether it was false flag, whether it was hoax, whether it was anything, being the fact that it was at a gay bar and seeing what we're seeing now from the giant, just giant acceptance of the gay community because of this was not by accident. So be very careful, guys, what you accept, what you tolerate, and what you put up with, because what we tolerate now is going to be embraced by the next generation, and we're already seeing this happen, and it's only going to get much, much, much worse the more we allow it, because everything now is going gay. Everything. And there will be no living with them if we continue to go down this path at all.
Well, they're going to become the dominant sex.
Exactly.
You know, sexual orientation. And when that happens, it, again, it's part of the New World Order, Sabbatean philosophy. Turn everything upside down that God put out here. It's Aleister Crowley all over again. Do what thou wilt. And see, they try to do everything that God has as being normal. They turn it upside down because they're trying to bring in their quote-unquote end of days. And so they're doing a good job of it. Now, the Sabbateans are the Luciferians. These are the Rothschild bankers that were brought into this Sabbatean philosophy by Jacob Frank. And then he ended up basically, converting these guys over to be complete Satanists back in the 1700s. Now, these guys also are the ones who have brought in Sigmund Freud, the total sexual pervert. We talked about this on the show, I believe it was on Hagman on Thursday night, and how what a pervert he was. And Edward Bernays was his cousin, another sexual pervert, deviant. And so all of these guys are Sabbateans, and they were basically Luciferians. And see, and that's the biggest problem that the Jewish folks have to deal with, that this entire movement was started by a guy, Sabbatai Levi, and he was a Jewish guy, and he ended up becoming a Luciferian and becoming this weirdo, and then he converts to becoming a Muslim, and he started all of this stuff, and a lot of this was from the 8th century in Khazaria, when a lot of these satanic beliefs came out of. And so this whole thing's a big mess. And see, the Jews get blamed for everything because they're a bunch of weirdos that are in the hierarchy of the money establishment with the Rothschilds that claim to be Jewish, but they're not Jewish at all. They're Luciferians. They're Satanists. And so, again, the Jews end up being the scapegoat. I mean, 99% of the Jews have no idea what's going on any more than 99% of the white people or the Protestants or the Catholics do. It's just this group, this much smaller than 1% of these weirdos, the Council of 300, the Bilderberger group, the Bohemian Grove Club. All of these nutbags are running around worshiping Lucifer. The problem is we've given them the authority now to take over our governments and our countries, and they've done a lot of it through money magic through the Rothschild group. So the sad part about all of this stuff is that unless we learn to change this, it's not going to get any better. Greg Jackson, a good friend of mine, he hooked me up last week. It was kind of strange on a chain letter he put out. Basically, it was a letter that he sent out to Dr. Dobson, who was one of the MCs at the Trump thing last week with the evangelicals, asking Dr. Dobson if he was able to ask Trump certain questions about abortion, et cetera. And I told Jed Greg today, I said, well, if you were going to send out that letter, you probably should have sent the letter out before the meeting with Trump so they could have talked to Trump personally about what concerns you and ask him these questions. They could say, yes or no, I didn't ask these questions. But to bring up questions in retrospect makes it more difficult, because if they didn't ask the exact question that you want, they really can't give you an affirmative answer. Well, I've been on this email chain. Greg sent it out to about 100 people. I think it's 87 people on it. And so every day there's like 4 or 5 or 10 some days of responses about what's going on with Trump. Now, here's what's interesting to me. And I told this to Greg today. I personally believe he's got a whole bunch of closet Democrats that are going to vote for Hillary on that list, who claim to be Christians, but they're voting for Hillary. Now, how that works, I don't know. Years ago, I had a workout partner. He's a black guy. His name was Van Green. Great friend of mine. I mean, he worked out here for 7 years with me here at the house. We have a little gym here at the house. And he's a former NFL football player. And he was voting for, who was it back then? Gosh, that back, Al Gore, I guess. And he was voting for Al Gore. And I asked him, I said, how can you possibly vote for Al Gore? I mean, he's pro-abortion. You know, you're a pastor. And he goes, well, the Republican Party has not been good to the black folks. And I said, well, that's not true. I said, you know, Lincoln was a Republican. I said, the Republicans have done a whole lot more for the blacks than anyone else has ever done, except now it was all hijacked back in the 60s with Lyndon Johnson. And I said, you guys aren't really seeing what's going on. He goes, well, we always vote Democrat. I'm like, okay. Well, yeah, so these letters start coming back and forth to me from Greg Jackson. And all these people are commenting. I mean, literally, there's probably been close to 100 comments now. In fact, people are actually begging to get off the email chain now because it's going on for so long. And all of these guys are slamming Trump. I mean, not all of them, probably half are slamming Trump. The other half are encouraging people to vote for Trump. Now, what I found funny was that I finally had enough of it. I put my own 2 cents in it, and I said, look, here's the thing, guys. Number one is, if we're not going to vote for Trump, who are we going to vote for? If you have an alternative third-party candidate, tell us who you're voting for. Okay, but don't sit here and tell us not to vote for Trump when you're not telling us whether you're voting for Hillary or not. I say, because if you're a Democrat and you're voting for Hillary, then we have to take everything you're saying with a grain of salt, because you're obviously biased towards Hillary. And of course, I got eviscerated for that. And, you know, then I got some people that were really nasty to me. I started thinking, man, these Christians are supposed to be nice, but they're just absolutely this horrible when you ask them a question, if they're even Christians on this database. So finally, I just said, look, I said, here's the thing, guys. I said, we're not putting a preacher in the office. So here's what I wrote him this morning. I said, look, I said, here. I said, you guys are interesting, but we're not putting a pastor in the White House. Does Hillary Clinton have any of the qualifications that you are requiring from Trump? If you're going to vote third party, okay, that's great. I've done so for many years. But please, differentiate your voting preference if other than Republican. If there is another candidate who has a chance to beat Clinton, then we are all ears. It's like the late Jerry Falwell said, A, B, C, anybody but Clinton. So please, give us your viable alternative to Clinton. If you're for Clinton, let us know why you feel she is the best candidate. All of us still have a right to vote for anyone. Thank God our founders spilled their blood to give us the right to have this discussion. With King George, we would all be hung for sedition. Now, guys, that's the truth. And, of course, I got slammed for that. Then some guy comes back and he goes, you're not wanting him to be a pastor, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I don't want him to be a pastor. I want him to be a politician, a business guy who can fix this mess. What pastor do we know of are we going to put into the White House that qualifies as a pastor for every evangelical group? Quite frankly, evangelical groups can't even get along. The Baptists don't get along with the Presbyterians. The Presbyterians don't get along with the Church of Christ. Well, of course, Church of Christ really don't get along with anybody because they believe they're the only ones saved. The Christian Church doesn't get along with, you know, the Assembly of God folks. The Catholics don't get along with any of the Protestants. I mean, we got this entire division going on where we have to have dozens and dozens of denominations in the United States right now who all claim to be Christian. So why in the world do we think that we can put a Christian leader in the White House who's a born-again person who's equivalent of being a pastor that the evangelicals are going to choose? And that's why I chastised this whole group. And I said, wait a minute. If you've got an alternative other than Hillary that you're not talking to us about, let us know. But I already sent one other email over the weekend. I said, the problem is you guys are a bunch of closet Democrats. And I said, you're voting for Hillary, and you're claiming to be Christians in this forum that we have going, and you won't tell us who you're voting for. I said, this is complete nonsense. And guys, this little forum's been going on now, like I said, for almost a week. And it's been very interesting to me to realize the disunity of the body of Christ. Now listen to me, everybody. This isn't a joke. This election is not a joke. Okay? This is it. Okay? The United States, this is like the 11th, 12th round of a boxing match. And we're winded and we're up against the ropes and we're going down to our knees. And we've got the Satan group beating the holy living crap out of us in the ring. They're trying to score a knockout punch with Hillary. They're beating us and beating us and beating us and beating and beating us. We've already dropped our guard. We've already accepted the homosexual agenda. We've already accepted killing and murdering 60 million babies. They've already put so much energy into their negative energy field around this planet that we're willing to do pretty much anything they want us to do and accept it and love it now, like Austin talked about. We've already done all of this, and we've already completely and totally compromised, and now we've got a bunch of evangelicals out there that are holier than thou, who are more pious than H.E. double sticks, and they're all running around saying, don't vote for Trump, don't vote for Trump, you can't vote for Trump, he's not this, he's not this, he's not this. Who are you going to vote for, Buckwheat? Who are you going to put in the White House? He's the only person who's even met with the evangelicals and said that he wants to support us. He's the only person who is pro-life on this ticket that we have going on. He's the only person who's a business guy worth billions of dollars who's willing to put his reputation, his businesses, his very life on the line trying to protect the United States. Who are you going to vote for? Clinton? Are you joking me? Some third-party person who has no chance in hell of winning this election? This is not that election. This is the 11th round. We are beat to death on the ring, on the ropes. The globalists have taken us over. They put tens of millions of people into the United States as false flag people. We've got Department of Homeland Security, the MRAPs driving all over the highways now, and we've got UN MRAPs driving around the highways now. Look at Dave Hodges' weekend show. Drudge is picking up on the UN MRAPs running around the highways.
Oh, yeah.
We're about to go into World War III. We're about to have the entire country taken over, and you guys are worried because Donald Trump doesn't claim to have all the values and the morals that you have. Are you kidding me? Why don't you go throwing rocks in your own glass house, you bunch of stinking hypocrites? You nauseate me. Pious hypocrisy is all it is. There's absolutely no reason for you guys to be acting like this. We've got a guy who says he's an evangelical, who says he's a born-again Christian, who says he wants to do what's right, who's putting his very life on the order. Who else are you going to put up here? Some third-party guru who has no chance of winning? Are you joking me? This is not that election. If you get the communists in here, you get these fascists in there, we won't even have this talk show anymore. You won't even have the right to express your opinions. You'll be hauled off to a FEMA camp. And yet, you want to make a big deal about the fact that he's not everything you're supposed to think a Christian's supposed to be? Are you joking me? You guys that are acting like this, you nauseate me. You nauseate me, because the truth is there's absolutely no reason for you not to vote for him if he's the GOP nominee. And George Bush, Bohemian Grove George Bush, Satan boy George Bush, is doing everything he possibly can to prevent Trump from getting the nomination in the back room as we speak, because the globalists are so scared of him. So guys, wake up and realize that your life, your family's life, your businesses, your jobs, the very future of the United States of America is online this year. And we'll be blessed by the grace of God if we even have an election the way things are going right now, if that right isn't taken away from us. So forgive me for fussing at you guys who support Trump and are trying to do what you need to do. And if you got a third party candidate, but by golly, don't be out there voting for Hillary Clinton. This, enough of this. She's a stinking witch. She's a witch. She's a head of a coven in California. Are you joking me? You'd rather put a witch in the White House and you yell Christian values? Ah, no. Awesome. Do it. I gotta go calm down for a second. Sorry, guys. I'll be right back.
Well, address the thing you're talking about with the UN. This has gotten traction all over Drudge. Actually, even the Daily Mail Online UK picked it up. Individual over in Virginia, going down, I think, Interstate 81, has spotted dozens of these UN armored trucks on the back of semi-trucks getting transported. Now, a lot of people have used the excuse that they're transporting these vehicles overseas and whatnot. The problem that I have with that is majority of the time, if these things are going to be transported overseas, they're using a vast, vast amount of them to transport, and they're going to use railways. There's another individual in Texas
that has also posted the same exact thing. And from what we're seeing, the vehicle seems to be an Alpine Armoring Pitbull DX SWAT truck model. Now, these aren't SWAT trucks. These are full, pure, white vehicles with UN posted all over them. Every single side has UN on them. These are not SWAT vehicles. These are not military vehicles. These are full-blown UN vehicles, and they're all over the country now. We saw this last year. We saw the exact same thing happening. Now we're seeing them again. Now, like I said, a lot of people are saying, well, they may be transporting them overseas. They may be doing this with them. That's all good and great, and that's a great theory, but majority of the time, you're not going to see them up and down all kinds of interstates all across the country. They're generally going to go from wherever they were prepped onto a railroad out wherever they're going as far as shipment containers, and they're going to go overseas to wherever they need to go. Now, could they be going overseas? Possibly, but this is very odd to me, especially because we've never really seen this type of UN armored vehicle movement in the United States since the signing of the UN gun treaty that Kerry signed and Obama accepted. The reason why this is so disheartening is because you have to remember, if there's some type of UN decree where they say from now on we're confiscating weapons or we're banning weapons, the U.S. military and the U.S. police departments are pretty much going to be null and void when it comes to that. You're going to get some of the gung-ho gurus that are brainwashed, that are all, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and do this. That's going to be a very, very minute percent because they live here. This is their family. This is their home. This is what they fought for. Now, you start taking UN mercenaries that are coming out of different countries, the same thing when we send in, you know, Marine MARSOC or a SEAL group into a different country to go do a raid. They don't have any alliance there. They don't have any empathy there. They're going in there to do their job. They do their job. They take out who they're going to take out, and they leave. That's it. This is what the UN, this is the same exact policy the UN is going to have. Now, if these vehicles are deployed in the United States, and we actually see them driving around, it's a whole different animal. But I thought it was interesting because they pulled up the info on the Pitbull DX SWAT, and it's a smaller, more agile version of the MRAP. The MRAP, depending on which one you use, there's multiple different versions they have, actually, that you see that the U.S. military uses. They're roughly around 30,000 pounds. They're pretty doggone tall, and so they can be very top-heavy, and they're very just bulky vehicles. The Pitbull VX SWAT is right around 16,000 pounds, yet it still has seating for two, as far as navigator and driver, plus eight in the crew. Windows do not roll down. They have locking gun ports on the vehicle. They'd be open to shoot or accept documents. They're internal fans that keep bad air out or bring fresh air in. PA systems to talk to everybody outside. Remote-controlled spotlights on the roof and red and blue strobe LEDs all around the vehicle. The windows on the vehicle are ballistic glass. They'll shed all small arms fire and a close-range shot from basically a 50 BMG. There's nine gun ports, angled roof and floor designed for anti-mine protection. Every door overlaps with ballistic steel, so no stray bullets can penetrate. There's three hatches on the roof, and the fuel tank is fully protected and encased in ballistic steel. My reason for saying all that is these are not just normal troop transports. These are not normal Humvees. These are not just normal light armored vehicles that troops are going to ride around in. These are fully armored combat vehicles. The reason why you, when you start seeing fully armored glass and gun ports, you know this is not just a transport vehicle anymore. This is a full-blown battle wagon, what you want to call it. That's what it is. So seeing these transported all over the country now multiple times on the back of semi-trucks starts becoming quite weird, especially when you realize that UN's not supposed to have any type of security force here, nor are they supposed to have any type of policing capabilities here. But if you start looking at what we've signed with the UN and the pacts and agreements that we have at the UN, they can be called in at essentially any time of emergency to help out with peacekeeping missions. You can look all that up under the UN. So I wanted to bring that up because Dad brought it up here. Dave Hodges has it on his website. It's gone all over the news, all over the underground media as far as online, because people are starting to wonder why we're starting to see repeated UN armored trucks all over the country. If these vehicles were just going to port and getting shipped out, why are we seeing them in all different places all over the place? doesn't make any sense to me at all. So that's why I wanted to address that, since Dad talked about it a few minutes ago.
Well, yeah, Austin, I mean, think about this. You know, I'm done with my rant now. I've already burned up all my energy for the day. You 60-year-olds can't do this very often. We end up getting a hoarse throat. We ended up having to go take a nap, okay? But here's the thing. You know, we've got UN armored war wagons now being transported around the United States. You know, Dave Hodges is convinced we're going to have like a 7-prong attack. He did a video on it, so he got almost 10,000 views. And, you know, nobody wants to talk about what's really happening, and all we're doing is being obfuscated by what is apparently a false flag hoax attack in Orlando. Whether it's hoax or not, I don't know. But, I mean, people are saying that it's hoax now because we don't know, because everything we've been told is a lie. What did that former head of the CIA say? We'll know if we have succeeded as a CIA when everything that every American believes is a lie. I mean, that's their mantra. I mean, my God, why aren't these people put in jail for saying stuff like that? And why aren't they all terminated? Why aren't these agencies gotten rid of? Because remember, one of the first things Ted Kennedy wanted to do, you know, John F. Kennedy, before they shot him, was he was going to get rid of the CIA and be done with that nonsense, because they're such a covert, weirdo group of people that bring in a bunch of drugs to sell for money in the United States. And, you know, now, does Donald Trump know all of this stuff's going on with Operation Gladio and Operation Condor? And false flags all over Europe that we've been involved in for 60, 70 years? Probably not. If he does, he probably only knows a little bit on the outside. Because quite frankly, if I knew all of that and I was him, I wouldn't run for president. I would just say, this just isn't worth it. It's not worth dealing with all this mess. But he may know about it. I don't know. But let me go ahead and start with some nutrition stuff. I got to change my focus for a second. You know, over the years, you know, we were doing the seminars all over the country and talking about the top 10 foods never to eat, and how to go and going into detail on how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and all these different types of things in your body, and how to, you know, do adult onset diabetes reversal, you know, as far as getting your body not to have to use insulin and getting rid of Syndrome X and changing your diet. And we've done a lot of that for all of these years. But there are a lot of quote unquote conspiracy theories that were out there that now we have found are totally true. Now, one of the ones that I talked about was sodium nitrite back in the 80s and the 90s, and how it massively increased the risks of pancreatic cancer and colorectal cancer. And everybody was saying to me, you're a conspiracy theorist. I cannot believe that you said all of this stuff. And you know, back this 30 years ago. Well, guess what? Now the mainstream media says it wasn't a conspiracy theory. It was true. Second, we talked about fluoride and lead in the water and aluminum in the water. And now they're finding out that we have fluoride and lead and aluminum in all the water. You know, they're putting the fluoride in. You know, and fluoride is a rat poison. And I told people fluoride was a rat poison back in the 80s. They said I was nuts. It was a conspiracy theory. And now they realize the Harvard School of Public Health says it has a massive reduction in IQ scores in children who are raised on fluoride water in their formula. I mean, so now we know that's not a conspiracy theory. You know, we've talked about all of the geoengineering they've done with all of these with these airplanes and spraying us. Now the government comes out and say they admit it, it's part of climate control. Okay, well, that's nice. Well, we were conspiracy theorists because we believed it. You know, now we have an entire crop of oranges here in Central Florida that are not aluminum tolerant. We have entire groves and sections of groves that are completely dead now from the spray and from this strange disease that's taken them over. You know, we told people for years that mercury was in shots. And we were told we were liars. We were told that we were wrong. And then we were told that mercury was good for you. Good for you, Austin. They told us that mercury was good to inject. It was good for children to inject them. That was the big thing I liked a few years ago. They told us it's good for you. And then they were told that now there's no more mercury in the vaccines. They're still pumping us full of flu vaccine that's still full of mercury, 51 parts per million. But we were told that it was a conspiracy theory. They would never do that. Okay? Bill Gates said he wants to reduce the population, wants to use vaccines to help do that. And we were told we were nuts, and there's no way Bill Gates is going to say that. But now he comes out and says it on a TED conference, TED conference, and when he spoke to it, said he'll use it to reduce population. You know, we were told that they were bringing terrorists and illegal aliens into the United States to bring in disease and to do Cloward and Piven and to bring in, you know, violence and acts of terror. And we said, well, that'll never happen. And now we've got radical Muslims all over the place shooting people up, if indeed it's even happened in Orlando. But we know it's happened other places. At least we think we know what happened to other places. We don't really know what to believe anymore, Austin, because everything's a lie from the mainstream media. But we do know one thing. We've got a lot of diseases that are being brought in across the border. You know, we were told that, I told them that sooner or later, children would be forced to take vaccines or they couldn't go to school and there'd be no more exemptions. And everybody said, that'll never happen. California, it's already done. Okay, and now we're having more and more and more autism, more and more miscarriages from all these chemicals they're putting in the bodies. You know, then I told everybody that Planned Parenthood was selling body parts, and they were being backed by the U.S. government, by your taxpayer dollars. And everybody told me that I was nuts until the guy came in with the doggone video and showed they were doing it. And now they're all saying it's still a conspiracy theory and it never happened anymore. It was all a lie. And they tried to put this guy in jail for exposing the video. I mean, unbelievable. I've gone into detail on the cancer industrial complex, how chemotherapy and radiation and surgery are the primary treatments they use in the United States, and how cancer is a major industry that has never been, they've never tried to cure it. They've just only wanted to extend people's lives to make cancer drugs a treatment protocol that would go on for years, if not decades, to increase their profits. And that's from the financial, you know, the Financial Times. I've got the quote on that. Now, the crazy thing about this is when I told people that, they told me I was crazy. And now finally we have hundreds and hundreds of authors that are saying, you know, cancer is a racket. It's like war's a racket. It's all about the money. Then we have these giant chemical companies like Monsanto and Bayer and DuPont and Dow and Syngenta that are making these GMO foods, and all these pesticides and chemicals are spraying on the foods. And they're telling us that it's good for us and it's healthy for us and how we're going to have more food to feed the world because they're doing this. It was all a lie. And of course, I was told that I was a conspiracy theorist when I was talking about all of this stuff. And then I warned people about alcohol, how to increase the risks of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis, liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, breast cancer. But then everybody was told that alcohol was good for you. You got to drink wine every day. Not to even mention that 10% of the population is genetically predisposed to be alcoholics. They don't care about that. They don't care about the fact that if you have alcoholism in your family, you really shouldn't be drinking ever, 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 ever. You should never do it because of what it can do as far as genetically to you. So, I mean, but they don't want to talk about that either. Then we talked about coffee, how it massively increased the risk of breast cancer. And now the entire media has gone after coffee, saying how wonderful it is, and how what a health beverage it is, and how it should be used by every all the time. It's not. Coffee massively increases the risks of breast cancer. It also can increase the risk of high blood pressure, thereby increasing the risk of heart disease. I mean, it's just the truth. It also elevates cortisol, which is a stress hormone, massively messes up sleep patterns, and I've talked to you guys about that for a year. Then I've warned you about soy. I warned you about soy back in the 80s, about it being a female hormone, and now we've got a whole bunch of soy boys who cry every time they get fussed at because they can't handle their emotions because they're so full of estrogen because they're soy. It's been dominated, you know, their bodies and their chemistries. And I warned people that was going to happen, that we're going to have this whole group of kids now that are going to be all these transgenders and these asexuals. And that's exactly what's happened now. I've been talking about that for years. I talked about the epidemic of ADD and autism back in the 80s and in the 90s. And now that's shown to be true. And now we have MIT saying that 1 in 25 kids will have autism by the age, by 2025, 1 in 25. And by 2035, all boys, and by 2035, all girls will have autism if the current trend doesn't change. That's conspiracy theory. But yet, go look how many kids have autism. The parents whose lives have been destroyed by this disease. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So guys, listen to me. I've been in the middle of all of this stuff since 1980, telling you guys the pros, the cons, the good, the bad, and the ugly about the medical profession, the media, the lies. I've gone toe-to-toe with some of the largest chemical producers in the world, you know, with aspartame because it causes brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. I went after Olean and Olestra, Olestra, back in the 90s because of what it did. It was finally pulled off the market. I mean, I've spoken to millions of people via radio and TV, on other people's shows, million more in the live seminars. I've been at the forefront of all of this stuff, and I'm telling you that right now, the United States is at a crossroads right now. In the summer of 2016, you know, the globalists are scared to death of what just happened with Brexit. They're scared to death their agenda is going to be taken apart from them. And these Sabbatean Rothschild boys, who are these Luciferians, they're going to do everything they can to initiate more and more and more of these satanic magic rituals to try to take their planet back over again to bring in the kingdom of Lucifer. And we are standing against them now in the aggregate. And we as Christians have to get together and say, look, we've got to put together, we've got to put aside our differences here, and we've got to realize, hey, Trump might not be it, right? He may not be who he says he is, but he's the only thing we got going right now. I mean, he's like the only dog in the race for us who try to tell the truth. And guys, we've got to stand together, and we've got to believe, we've got to pray, and we've got to stand together in this field that we're in, this energy field, and we've got to stand in unison, because that's what these globalists are afraid of. They're afraid that the Christians are going to wake up and go, wait a minute, we've got to pray. and we've got to pray the things that we want to happen, and that they're happening right now in this energy field, because we're linked to God in His dimension, and we have the omnipotence that He shares with us, the omnipresence that He shares with us, and the omniscience that He shares with us, and we can literally change the very fabric of space-time through dunamis, the power, the dynamite of prayer. It changes everything. Jesus told us that repeatedly. So listen, we have to understand that we've got to take our country back. If not now, when? How much worse does it have to get? We've got men going in little girls' bathrooms now thanks to this Kenyan usurper in the White House, this gay Kenyan usurper in the White House with his transgender wife, according to Joan Rivers. I mean, we've got all of this stuff happening right now. How long are we going to fight about this? If you're a Christian right now and you aren't registered to vote, shame on you. Go get your butt out of that chair you're in right now and go register yourself to vote. You know, you don't have to be Republican or Democrat to vote in a general election. That's just for primaries. The primaries are already over with. Just get out there and register to vote. Make your voice count. A lot of obfuscation goes on with the elections. A lot of trickery goes on with the elections. But guys, if we're in the 11th ring, we got to start swinging back. We got to do what we know to do, and we've got to take our country back. If not now, when? Let's stand in the aggregate together. All right, Oz, what's your next story, bud?
Oh, this is one. This is interesting. I pulled it up earlier today. You know why everybody's completely consumed with, you know, gay love and gay pride and banning AR-15s, like I was talking about earlier. I was completely consumed with media in the last 2 weeks now. So from what I read today, according to an announcement from the United States Committee on Agricultural Nutrition and Forestry, committee leaders have reached a bipartisan agricultural biotechnology compromise solution. So I've said, what is that? So I started looking it up. What is this compromise? They're stating the complete banning of all GMO labeling state laws across America. After that, this new compromise decrees that no food shall be GMO labeled for 2 years while the USDA ponders on what else they can do. The law also gives the USDA the right to decree that any foods with less than 50% bioengineered content will be considered non-GMO. Now, I have not figured out yet if this is going to completely nullify the Vermont GMO labeling law. I have a feeling it is. I have not seen that yet, though, so I will keep you guys informed about it. But it gets worse with this bipartisan compromise. The law also does not require animal products derived from GMOs to be considered bioengineered at all. So cattle that are being pumped full of GMO and glyphosate can still sell beef as all natural. Finally, after this 2 years that they're stating now, the USDA will roll out a nationwide rule that would require food companies to place a scannable QR code on their labels. Consumers would then have to carry their smartphones with them to scan all the codes in order to determine if they're really GMO. GMO labeling doesn't actually have to consist of words or any symbol. This is how the food industry can claim they've agreed to GMO labeling without GMO labeling, the QR code image. Now, you guys have probably seen these on a lot of stuff now. They've gotten popular over the years. It's like a little square box with just all these different pixelated images on it. You can't determine what it is. You can't read it. You have no idea what it is. Old phones can't even read it. You have to scan it with fairly new iPhones within the last, I think, probably 5-6 years, or, you know, smartphones. You scan it, and then it's going to tell you whether or not the product has any GMO ingredients. The problem with this is exactly what I just said. They're not going to label anything. They're going to put these stupid QR codes on everything that most people are going to bypass, not even look at, and if you want to know, you're literally going to have to scan every single product you buy now to figure out if it's non-GMO. This right now, like I said, I'm going to look into this more, but if this really went through and if this really is going to basically bypass the Vermont labeling law, this again is another complete and total totalitarian step towards controlling and manipulating everything we eat. The fact that this was even accepted by the USDA is mind-boggling to me, and actually so disappointing I can't even put it in words.
So just to give you guys a heads up on that, this is what they're trying to do now. This is their overall goal. I've told you before, Monsanto and these GMO boys are not going to lay down without a fight. Neither are the globalists, because this is the overall goal, is to keep everybody on this absolutely toxic, disgusting, health-killing food that is basically ruining the nation's health as we speak. So this is something I wanted to inform you guys of. Look it up yourselves. The more I find out about it, the more I'll bring it up on the show, and I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the Vermont labeling bill with this. But again, remember what I told you guys earlier? It's all about obfuscation. The media is always giving you all this information to chew on while they're doing something else besides the scene. It's way, way, way more nefarious. So, yeah, that's what we're looking at now with GMO foods.
Well, you know, you said it, and I said it also when the Vermont law came out a few months ago. There's no way that Monsanto is going to lay down and not do this. They've got too much money. Remember, Monsanto is owned by the Rothschild folks through their interlocking corporate directorships and stock options and purchases. And they are using the Monsanto to destroy the food supply to reduce the population of the planet. Because if they can control us through food, they can control us. If people are starving to death, they'll turn their guns in. They'll turn their guns in. They'll sort of voluntarily turn their guns in. See, that's been the goal here the whole time. That's what all this HARP is about. That's what all these chemtrails are about. They're completely destroying the ability of the United States to feed itself. And see, guys, they're doing it right now in front of us. You go outside, look at the chemtrails. And yet we sit here and we don't do anything in to stop it. That's why we got to pray. We got to pray, and we got to get Trump in there. We'll know if Trump's for real, Austin, if the chemtrails stop once he gets in.
It's very true.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to me today and to Austin. I'm so glad to have Austin back with me. Guys, please pray. Pray that a godly person gets into the White House. I believe it's going to be Donald Trump. I believe he's godly. I believe he's had a born-again experience. I've been told that by numerous people who are pastors who know him. So, guys, we've got to believe that we can turn this country around. We can't lose hope. I don't want the Book of Revelation to start, not in my lifetime. God will give us a break. I'm sure he will. You just got to pray. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us and all the other stuff you guys buy from us. Thank you for supporting us in our newsletter. We appreciate you, because if you weren't here listening to us, we couldn't be here talking to you. And so we love you, and we appreciate you. We want God's best for you. Austin, go ahead and close, buddy.
Yes, thank you guys again for all the support and everything that you've done. Thank you for all the emails. And if you guys need anything, email us or call us at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.